ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you are, wherever in the world you are, or when you may be reading a transcript, or when you may be listening to an audio of a replay, we welcome you. This is the BBS Win-Free Monday Night Hour. My name is Terry Brown, and I'm the co-host of the show. And he is out rounding up the people on the conference line. This is a simulcast between people on a conference line and people on BBS radio. So that if someone calls in on the conference line, then they are all patched in and can hear the show that way. And on BBS radio, they can hear it on their computer. These programs are archived by BBS Radio, and one can subscribe and can hear all the back Mondays of Winfrey or any other BBS show that has been broadcast. Win also has something called the Spirit Channel, and individuals can get transcripts of the audios by subscribing to the Spirit Channel. We don't have a full house or full range of transcripts yet. However, the transcripts are being done and put up on the archives of the Spirit Channel. And they are sent out as they're done to individuals who subscribe to the Spirit Channel. Win has three conference calls a week. One of them is the grid healing, which is on Sunday, and we make information available. We do a healing, a grid healing, and I do a channeling, and we have individuals tell what their concerns are and what they would like to put in the light that week, such things as world situations, economic situations, and sometimes people put people that they know in the light that are having a difficult situation or time. Then we have the Monday night call, and I do channeling on this call very often. However, I never know what the topic is beforehand. I don't know what the topic is tonight, and I prefer to not know beforehand.
She tells so that to everybody. We rehearse this all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Winfrey.
That's right. We get up in the morning, and Terry and I say, well, how about if I say this if you say that? And we, you know, work it all out so we look good, you know.
And then you're on the recorder, right?
No, I didn't record. Hang on a second.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is Winfrey. This is Monday, November 7th in Sedona with my co-host, Terry Brown. We're actually both co-hosts, okay? And we're doing our Monday night conference call coordinated with our conference line. And we have a really interesting topic tonight. These calls are very interesting. I shouldn't say they're interesting, because when I say they're interesting, I mean they're interesting to me. You have to find if it's interesting to you. But those of you that have been listening regularly know that I have been involved in an ongoing dialogue with some sources in other dimensions. At least they identify themselves that way. and they have explained themselves to be group souls, two group souls. One of them is the Elohim group, which created the physical universe, and the other is the Ra group, which has been made up of graduates, souls that went through physical bodies, periods, and graduated, and acts as helpers and guides for those of us that are still here in confusion. And I always tell people, don't believe any of that. That's how they describe themselves. But the best way to come to your own conclusion is by the nature of their answers on these calls. And we have quite a, how would I say it, backlog, archive. If you'd like to go check out our archives, they're not very well presented. They're not very well presented at this point, but they are there. That's somebody checking in. Hang on a second. Hang on.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Hang on.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
TheSpiritChannel.net. TheSpiritChannel.net. You can listen to our archives. In some cases, read them, because there are transcripts. And again, I say the best way to decide as to the source of our communications is by your own impact. And there should be an impact if they are who they say they are. And for many of the people who have been paying attention to these calls, there has been an impact. There's been a lot of transformations, personal growth, all kinds of things. And there's a reason why that happens and how that works. And part of the topic tonight has to do with the reason. And this is one of those calls where I'm going to try to make this simple so that you all can understand it, and in spite of the fact that I barely understand it, I had a lot of ahas this past week as I listened to a video that was on YouTube from an excerpt from the movie What the Bleep, and listen to that video.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Did any of you watch the video?
Particle versus wave, yes.
Yes, you did. Anyone else?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
You did? Oh, thank you. Well,
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
It was a video, and it was on the particle versus wave phenomena. And it was showing some things that were very interesting. And Seth is prepared to play the audio track of the video. But I thought I would tell you what I saw when I watched that video. And then after we hear the audio, I was going to give you my cognitions on it. And then we were going to talk to our sources and see if we're going the right direction, and what they can share from that perspective. This goes right to the very nature of the physical universe, the very fundamental nature. And, of course, if we're talking to the Elohim, and if they created the physical universe, then they should be able to answer this. Can Jerry's mind bring through the answers? It has to go through the formation of her vocabulary. And sometimes there's limitations to concepts that she can understand, although there are times when she's brought through concepts which she doesn't understand and still makes them understandable. So we do this live, so really we haven't rehearsed this. Terry has no idea what we're talking about, going to be asking about. And she has demonstrated the ability over and over again to go into a, should we call it a trance or an altered state, where she's able to pick up on her antenna these voices from other dimensions. And this has been going on in my life for probably 8 years. So, and we do it publicly. It was a little scary the very first time we ever did it publicly. And it's always a little scary. One of the reasons it's scary is because that anytime you do something like this, there's always the chance that whoever talks to you is not who they say they are. But I don't believe that's happened too much on our calls. And I think what protects us is the high intent of both Terry and myself. And but I tell people, you must decide. We're not presenting this as truth. But what we can present as truth is the experiments that were done on wave particle stuff. So let's see if I can describe this verbally. If you imagined shooting marbles out of a gun through a slit, the marbles, some of the marbles would bounce off this, the metal before there was a slit. The slit is in the metal. And others would go through the slit. And if they passed through the slit, they would, if there was a screen that could capture them, and you were shooting hundreds of marbles, you would have a solid line of marbles hitting that screen. It would all be a reflection of the slit. The screen would look like the slit, in other words. And that's a physical object going through a slit. Now, if you had a second slit, and you were shooting marbles, and it was going through both slits now, and it was hitting the screen on the other side of the slit, you'd have two lines on that screen that were looking like the slits, same geometries of the slits, because the slit would define the trajectory or the path of the marbles. Terry, do you understand that, Terry?
So far.
So far?
Yeah.
I'm just checking to see if I'm explaining this correctly. So now, on this video, it was saying, suppose you put water through one slit. There was waves of water hitting the slit instead of marbles. Well, what would happen with water is you'd get waves on the other side, and on the slit, if the screen was showing the water, it would show at the center of the screen the brightest area where the water was hitting, and then it would fade off along to the side with more slits in waves. And if you put two slits and the water was going through, you now have these two waves coming through each of the slits, and it's really quite different than with marbles, because the waves interact, and they either add or they subtract, and you get multiple forms on the screen. So with that, I think I'm going to have Seth play the tape, and that gives you the visualization of what he's talking about when he talks about a slit that they're shooting electrons through, or they're having water come towards. Are you there, Seth? Can you play that audio? Hello, Seth.
And here we are, the granddaddy of all quantum weirdness, the infamous double slit experiment. To understand this experiment, we first need to see how particles, or little balls of matter, act. If we randomly shoot a small object, say a marble, at the screen, we see a pattern on the back wall where they went through the slit and hit. Now, if we add a second slit, we would expect to see a second band duplicated to the right. Now, let's look at waves. The waves hit the slit and radiate out, striking the back wall with the most intensity directly in line with the slit. The line of brightness on the back screen shows that intensity. This is similar to the line the marbles make. But when we add the second slit, something different happens. If the top of one wave meets the bottom of another wave, they cancel each other out. So now, there is an interference pattern on the back wall. Places where the two tops meet are the highest intensity, the bright lines, and where they cancel, there is nothing. So, when we throw things, that is, matter, through two slits, we get this. Two bands of hits. And with waves, we get an interference pattern of many bands. Good so far. Now, let's go quantum. An electron is a tiny, tiny bit of matter, like a tiny marble. Let's fire a stream through one slit. It behaves just like the marble, a single band. So, if we shoot these tiny bits through two slits, we should get, like the marbles, two bands. What? An interference pattern. We fired electrons, tiny bits of matter, through. But we get a pattern like waves, not like little marbles. How? How could pieces of matter create an interference pattern like a wave? It doesn't make sense. But physicists are clever. They thought, maybe those little balls are bouncing off each other and creating that pattern. So, they decide to shoot electrons through one at a time. There is no way they could interfere with each other. But after an hour of this, the same interference pattern is seen to emerge. The conclusion is inescapable. The single electron leaves as a particle, becomes a wave of potentials, goes through both slits, and interferes with itself to hit the wall like a particle. But mathematically, it's even stranger. It goes through both slits, and it goes through neither. And it goes through just one, and it goes through just the other. All of these possibilities are in superposition with each other. But physicists were completely baffled by this. So they decided to peek and see which slit it actually goes through. They put a measuring device by one slit to see which one it went through and let it fly. But the quantum world is far more mysterious than they could have imagined. When they observed, the electron went back to behaving like a little marble. It produced a pattern of two bands, not an interference pattern of many. The very act of measuring or observing which slit it went through meant it only went through one, not both. The electron decided to act differently, as though it was aware it was being watched. And it was here that physicists stepped forever into the strange never world of quantum events. What is matter? Marbles or waves? And waves of what? And what does an observer have to do with any of this? The observer collapsed the wave function simply by observing.
Now, I don't know if you guys could understand that or visualize it, but the things that we're saying is we weren't talking about marbles. Now, they were talking about electrons being shot through a slit, and that when electrons were just shot through one slit, when there was only one slit, it would look like a wave form hitting the screen. And when it was shot through two slits, I hope I'm getting this right. When it was shot through one slit, it would look like marble. So it would just create a line on the other side. But when it was shot through two slits, there was some kind of interaction. So the pattern on the screen looked like a wave. And that they were experimenting, and even when they sent one electron out at a time, it still looked like a wave. Somehow or another, it was as if that electron divided between the two slits and had a wave function on the screen. So one slit, it looked like a particle. Two slits, it looked like a wave. But when they started to observe the electrons, before they hit the slit, on the front side of the slit, the act of observation turned it back into a particle. However they were measuring it, they didn't say how they did that, but the act of observation turned it into a particle. I'm going to open the lines up and see if everyone understands.
All callers are muted.
Just a second. Understands this so far.
Can you?
All callers are unmuted.
Are you guys following this?
Yep. Oh yeah. Of course, it helped to have watched it this afternoon.
Okay, great. Anyone on the call? The lines are open. Are tracking what I'm saying and is totally confused.
I want to
hear.
And willing to say it. That sounds like Michael.
Well, yes, and I thought this was really great, and it's another demonstration of the dual nature of the universe that we're in. And even when we're looking at the Ra group and the Elohim, one has had bodies, one hasn't. It's just very cool that it's just we're seeing again the dualism that we live in.
Yeah, but I'm going to go somewhere here on this thing, because I had this cognition when I watched that video. And that's why I played it tonight. Because I want to make this so it's helpful in a way that you can take it home with you and have more tools for changing your life. So who was it that said they didn't understand it at all?
Me. Kim.
Kim?
Mm-hmm.
That's Kim in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't get it. And I can watch that and watch that, but my mind has a block for some reason.
You watched the video, right?
Oh, I've seen that many times. Mm-hmm.
You've seen it many
that
times.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I don't get it either, Ken.
Don't stop the show for me.
you didn't get it, guys?
I saw it. It was very understandable from the video, but it's amazing. I'm very anxious to hear what they have to say tonight.
I mean, it's not logical, so you can't understand it in a logical way. But nonetheless, using the tools of measurement in this realm is the way it comes out, okay? So I don't think you can understand it in a logical way, in the way like 2 plus 2 equals 4, because this does not make logical sense. In other words, The difference between a particle and a wave. Hang on a second.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
The difference between a particle and a wave, perhaps you don't understand that. And I think let's look at understanding that for a moment. particle. Let's look at particles. We're used to a physical universe that's made up of particles, right? I mean, your table is solid. Your body is solid. We have this at least intuitive sense that there's something present there, physical. We know what that means. We may not understand all the ramifications of it, but we know what it means. And let's go now look at a wave. Now, since we're using waves here in terms of the ocean, for example, and we see waves coming in. Now, of course, this is not an exact analogy to quantum physics because the waves are still physical. They're still solid in one way, but they're waves in another. They act differently as waves than as solids. So waves, when they go through...
It is fluid, right? I mean, that makes a big difference, I guess, huh?
Well, it's fluid, but we're still not... we're still waves in physical fluid. Like, for example, like, put your hand out in front of you. So it's like extended from your body, and put all your fingers together and move your hand back and forth from left to right. Left, right. Left, right. Left, right. Now, actually, you are creating a wave motion. Now, if you'll notice, that wave is moving the air back and forth, left and right. Now, if you're doing it at the speed I'm saying, it would be like one cycle per second. Left, right, left, right. Let's suppose you speed it up. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Maybe that's four cycles per second, okay? So that's taking a solid object and moving it back and forth. So we can look at radio waves. Radio waves are not solid objects at all, as far as I know. They're frequencies of electromagnetism that can move through the air. Right where you're sitting right now, you're in the middle of a bunch of radio waves. They're all passing through your body. You're probably in the middle of a bunch of harp waves that are being generated for negative reasons. Your television set can pick up radio waves and convert them into visual images. Waves have different properties than particles. For example, if you throw a marble at your wall, when it hits the wall, it stops, okay? When you put a radio wave and aim it at your wall, it continues. We're all talking on cell phones right now, and we're all using waves going through all kinds of instruments and everywhere, where it starts out from my voice going into an audio, into a microphone, and coming out, going through a bunch of waveforms and coming out on the other end so that you guys are listening through your ears. And the same thing is happening over the internet. So it's waves and particles are different. Now, when you start looking at the building blocks of the universe, you're looking at an electron, for example, as they were talking about. The electron will sometimes behave as a particle and sometimes behave as a wave. And that is an incredible mystery as to why it should do that, okay? Perhaps it's always a wave, but the wave can look like a particle. And we can ask those questions. I have asked them. I don't completely understand the answers. But where it started triggering me when I was watched that video, and see if you can follow this with me, oftentimes we talk about our body and our energy bodies, and that our bodies are rigid in this dimension, and yet our energy bodies move through dimensions. And in a sense, it seems to me that our energy bodies are more like waves. For example, if you're on our grid healing Sunday, we move our energy bodies through the ceiling. At least we say we do. And things happen, and we feel shifts. And we feel ourselves connecting. And if our energy bodies are waves, then when we all connect by the laws of quantum mechanics and waves, we're making frequencies beating against each other. There's something new that comes into the mix when we combine our energies. Now, it seems that that is what happens, okay? I mean, it seems like when Jesus said, when two or more are gathered, I am also present, seems that that might be what he was talking about. Energies coming together and creating new frequencies that were not there before they came together. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about myself, and I'm thinking about how when I'm creating something for the first time, I have this idea of not talking to anyone about it. And I've learned, even in metaphysical stuff, there's this idea of holding the energy, that when you're starting something, don't talk about it until it gets anchored. And I know sometimes, Terry can watch this, I have this little RV, and if I have to make a bunch of phone calls, sometimes I will leave the house, go into my little RV, and make phone calls, because I don't want my frequencies to be encumbered. And, I mean, years ago I used to do this, I used to have to make phone calls, I would go to phone booths, there wasn't even cell phones at that time, I would go to a phone booth, and it was funny. But somehow, I had this feeling of being encumbered when I was in someone else's field. And then I took that to the idea of when they started monitoring the electrons that were going through the slit, the act of monitoring them shifted them from being a wave to a particle. And then I started to think about myself, and I said, if somebody's watching what I'm doing, there's a whole nother shift in the way my energy works. So oftentimes I set things up so nobody can watch what I'm doing, or nobody can hear what I'm doing. And I'm not even in the field of someone who can monitor my field to see what I'm doing, because I've had the experience of having these amazing synchronicities in my life, and I didn't quite understand it. And I'm applying these principles of quantum mechanics, and when something observes the electron, it turns into a particle. And I kept thinking, that feels like what I experience, that when somebody observes me, I turn into a particle. Another way of saying that would be, I'm linear, I'm solid. Whereas when I'm a wave, I can travel anywhere. I can move through walls. And suddenly there's synchronicities and there's magic. And then I said, I think this wave function of a human is another way of looking at spiritual energy, and that there's this field, and we all of you have heard this field referred to one way or another, whether it's the unity field, the infinite ocean of divine love and mercy, the Holy Spirit, and that field, I'm hypothesizing, is a wave. And it follows the patterns of waves. Now, I may be completely wrong, because we're going to talk to them, and they may say, "When you're wrong, you don't have it." But continuing this postulate is that all of us want to do things and change our lives, most of us, in one way or another, and that usually the first thing we do is we talk it over with our spouse, we call our friends up, we tell everybody what we're doing, and suddenly it doesn't happen. Now, I've looked at it in the past as like saying, well, you have all these people's energies or thought forms in your own mind, and they don't believe you could do that. So if they don't believe you can do that, and you've talked about them, you've told them what you're going to do when they don't believe it can happen, and you've told them what you're going to do before it happens, then essentially you've blocked your own mind from expanding into the field that can create that to happen. You see, things happen non-linearly. When you do things without moving into the field, you're operating, if you go biblically, the Bible called it by the sweat of the brow. Okay? Now, anyone could get a job, work, and, you know, do production, so somebody else earns money off of them and make a percentage of the money called their paycheck. Okay? And that's very linear, okay? Now, imagine that you went out one day and you said, I'm getting this feeling. I do this all the time, so I'm telling you what I do. I'm getting this feeling I'm going to go into this coffee house or this place and have a cup of coffee. And I walk in and I sit next to somebody and I start talking to them. And it was like they were the embodiment of something I was thinking about. Now, let's suppose I was looking for a job, and I sat next to that guy. And he says, man, you're just the person. I really like having you around. You can do this for me. You can do that, whatever it is, you know? And suddenly I have a job where I'm not just creating money for someone else, which there's nothing wrong with that, but I have a job where somebody really likes me, appreciates me at a deeper level, and I'm supporting the energy of his business. I look at these businesses, some of the businesses, not all, but some businesses become very successful because there's a cohesive energy in the business that radiates out to the customers. And two of the businesses I think about are like Starbucks and Kinko's. And that when you go in those businesses, whoever works there usually feels like they're really being themselves, particularly in Starbucks. And they don't feel like they're working. They're greeting you. They're happy to see you. They're happy to have a job. They connect well with the other people there. And there's a magic in that kind of relationship. There's a magic because the energy is grounded all the way from the human side to the big business. Another place where you can see that magic manifested is, let's look at the Beatles. Let's look at John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Why did they get so successful? Because I think they all went into their energy fields and combined energies, and it blasted the world in a very magical way. They also had the right managers. They also grounded everything in the physical. But the magic part of it, like the magic part of Starbucks, the magic part of Kinko's, and I'm sure there's many other companies, maybe Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I'm picking little things that I'm fairly certain that energy was present. And certainly, if we look at Jesus, it was present. And it created a foundation of energy that went far beyond those people, whether they cared about whether they were earning money or not earning money. They were dedicated to something, and they created the field. And in that field are our sources. And in that quantum field are the, I call them sources. They're a big part of the field. They can, like, jump. They can jump into the field. They can be right next to you because there's no time in the field. So it's like they jump into the field. Maybe the reason Terry can bring them through is because she has learned to merge her field in a quantum way with the field of the universe, and they can then talk through her field, and she can formulate words. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now, yeah, is any of this making any sense to you?
Well, I want to kind of get what the parameters of this thing are. So, can I run it by you?
You mean you're going to try to say you're going to try to repeat back to me your understanding of what I just said, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So when you put electrons through a slit, or marbles through a slit, they show up on the other side of, in a slit pattern on the wall.
Exactly.
Okay, then if you have two slits and you put marbles through a slit, they show up as two marble patterns on the wall.
Two of the slit patterns on the wall.
Right. And then if you put a weave through, then it shows up with it shows up with one slit. It shows up with the brightest spot, like one slit on the wall.
It has a bright spot, and it has declining bright spots as you go to the left or the right of where the slit is. The slit is the brightest spot, okay?
And the slit's the brightest spot.
Yeah, but when you put two waves through, now all we're doing now is just explaining the nature of waves as opposed to particles, okay? Whereas a particle will only have one line on the other side on the screen, even the one wave will have multiple lines, but the strongest line is in the center, right across from the slit, okay? And then it has, you know, lines of deteriorating magnitude.
I understand when you put one wave through that there's a bright spot, like in a slit on the other side, but you don't have multiple ones.
No, when you put a wave through, you do have multiple ones, but you have one bright spot, okay? It would be a way of looking at it is, suppose you were in a body of water and you threw a big boulder into the water so it created waves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you were monitoring the strength of the waves when they came to shore, that there would not just be one wave. As you went to the left and right, there'd be other parts of the wave that were hitting the shore at lesser magnitudes. But right at the center, directly, it would be the strongest magnitude of wave. Okay?
So you would have a bright spot, and then that would be less bright as you went out.
That's exactly right, right.
Okay. All right. And then you have, the next one is if you have an electron beam going on one slit, then
it looks like
you would
a particle.
Have particles, right?
Right.
Okay. And then if you had two slits, you would have multiple...
It turns into... If you have two slits, it starts to look like a wave, okay?
If you have two slits,
having two lines,
then
you have multiple lines.
You have multiple lines of particles.
Two slits turn up multiple lines on the wall, okay?
Particles on the wall, right?
Yeah. But now, if you start monitoring the electrons, in other words, watching them by some measuring device, suddenly you no longer have a waveform coming through those two slits. You have what seems to be a particle form. So you only have, when it's a particle, you only have just a single line on the screen coming through the slit that mimics
two lines with two slots.
Yeah, a single line for each slit. So if you have two slits, you have two lines coming through the screen, okay? So
that when you have one particle, when you have an electron that's hitting...
Even if you have one particle and there's two slits, the particle seems to divide between the two slits and starts to create a waveform, okay? Now, you can't understand why that occurs, because it makes no logical sense. But that's just the way it works.
If you have two slits, you have multiple lines that are bright, right?
Exactly. Until you start to measure what's coming towards the slits, and suddenly it changes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Observe it.
Yeah.
And it changes.
Right. So, for example, if we're being, the jump I'm making is that the human energy field is a wave, or a complicated series of waves. Pretending that I could begin to understand it, and that whatever is paying attention to the wave is changing it. Whereas a wave can move through walls, has no limitations in certain ways of understanding, a particle is limited. When it hits the wall, it goes bloop, stops, okay? And so if we have like a source like the Elohim group and the Ra group observing our waves, they are probably enhancing the waveform aspect of it. But if I go and tell somebody what I'm going to do, and that person is contracted in the physical, then it's going to turn my waves, it's going to turn me back into particles if I tell that to the wrong person. Now, the right person, when two or more are gathered, can increase it, which is like on Sunday we're gathering in a wave function, so to speak, okay? And, the key here is I think I'm onto something, and I think if people can grasp this principle, they can learn how to manifest. And I think that the secret of manifestation is within this principle. And that's my hypothesis, all right?
Okay. So, there's one section here that I want to make sure I understand. So, when you have one electron at a time going through one slit, then you have it acts like a wave, right? And you have multiple bands.
If it's only going through one slit, as I recall, it acts like a particle. Okay. It's only when there's two slits does it act like a wave. Okay.
Okay, so it goes through one slit, it acts like a particle. It goes through two slits, it has multiple bands of brightness, right?
Right. Until somebody starts watching it, and then, or when I say somebody, it's not somebody. It has to be some kind of measuring, high-tech measuring device that can detect electrons, that immediately, because the electron is being detected, somehow the universe knows that it's being detected, and it turns back into a particle in the way that it's measured through the slit. Now, in a sense, there's a thing that since there's no such thing as time, and time is an illusion, now you have something looking at something, and the way it works in time changes as a result of it being observed. Okay? It would be as if, let's suppose there was somebody that was walking by your window every day on their way to school. And every time you, whenever you didn't watch them, they took one path. But as soon as you were watching them, they took another path. But they didn't know they were being watched, okay? That's kind of what is being described with the electron, that it's being watched. And so when we pay attention to things on our Sunday grid healings and we're in our energy bodies, I think this is part of the way of understanding how that works, okay, and how it interacts. But I don't know, because I don't think anyone's ever asked this question before. And, you know, we're talking to a source energy here that's working with us. So somebody would have to be communicating with them to ask the question, okay? Plus, they'd have to have somewhat of a scientific bent to ask the question. So, does that all make sense?
Do you understand, Terry?
I'm not sure I totally understand, but...
May I say the bottom line? Okay, if you have the one slot, that's a vertical slot, you have electrons going through it, you have like a vertical line at the screen behind it. If you make two vertical slots, you shoot electrons through it, then you get the wave shape, so you get two bright lines with multiple other lines left and right of it. But as soon as you put a measuring device on it, and you keep shooting through the two slots, all of a sudden, it becomes only two bright lines, and the other lines fade away.
I think the point is that the act of observation changes it,
exactly.
So that a wave goes back to particle through the act of observation. And I think Einstein observed this also, or one of the other famous scientists observed that the act of observing some type of reaction alters the reaction.
Right. So I think what Wynn
might be possibly alluding to is that this observation is also perhaps the influence of consciousness that we have in our world, and shows the power that we have to create.
Right. To either observe things, to let ourselves be observed, to decide what we're observing, to decide what we let observe us, and how that works energetically on a quantum level to create shifts in other dimensions that download into manifested realities.
Waves are made of particles. They're interchangeable with each other. and they function together, really.
Waves are made of particles?
Yes, and particles are made of waves.
I don't think that's quite.
I don't think we can understand it. I mean, we could say that, but we don't understand it. All we know is how to measure things. In other
words, a wave
operates
differently than a particle. In a wave, you're looking at really a vector of energy, and that's what more quantum mechanics looks at. If you looked at a Newtonian atom, you'd see a nucleus with the electrons running around it. And if you looked at a quantum picture of an atom, you would see nothing, because it's all about the movement of energy. So it's all about how you define it. But I think the whole point in this thing is that the act of observation changes what's going on. Your consciousness makes a difference.
You know, the thing about this is not
doesn't really enter into it.
Not to necessarily think you're going to understand quantum physics and wave particle physics, because you're not going to understand it, because no one understands it, okay? To explain it is not to understand it. It's like, you know, to explain how miracles occur is not to understand what's going on when they occur. I'm just making the postulate that there's a connection between us, and I'm trying to create an intuitive understanding, so that maybe we all will be more effective at learning how to work this. It's not in the understanding, because it can't be understood. But there is the intuitive grasp of something, which when you grasp it intuitively, you can apply it. Okay? And on that note, I think we're going really a long time. We're up to 7:55. And we haven't even started talking to our sources. So I would like to open this up. Did someone say something? You know, our planet needs miracles now. It needs people of very high intention. And I believe that all of you who keep coming to these calls have those high intentions. So the goal is to learn even further how we can each become individually more effective. I'm going to mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
Everyone's muted. And Terry, you're there, right?
I'm here.
And is your microphone set up in front of your face?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You know, for some reason, when on this show tonight, I'm thinking of that guy Chris Angel on TV and how they set him up. And of course, all his magic tricks are fake. I don't know if you guys know that, but they're all, you know, if you go on YouTube and look up Chris Angel fake, there's all these people that are showing how he does his tricks. But, you know, they set him up. And so we're doing that kind of setup to find these answers out. And I'm going to call in the light. And calling in the light is our routine for creating, I think, a quantum field, creating a group energy, creating a waveform amongst all of us. It's not the words. Those of you who get it wrong do it like a ritual or a dogma. It becomes like magical words. If you're doing it right, you're creating a very high intention as you say it, to interface with the universe under the law of one, okay? So we're going to do that, and we're going to ask some questions about this whole topic. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, and everyone who is listening to the replays. Now, right now, we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe. through all the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through all the energy fields of planet Earth and the solar system, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness, a blending of energies, or perhaps waveforms in this way that we're looking at it tonight, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 7th of November, 2011. And we are mindful of the information that you are seeking by watching this experiment with particles. And we refer you to information that is available in the Creator God Book about the creation of matter. And the reason that electrons act both like particles and waves, in that when you get more basic than the marble, than the particle, you see that it is all a wave function that is then created into particles by the intersection of spinningnesses within different intentionally spinning units, so that when two units are similar, they are in a housing and spinning in their own, each unit is spinning, and in its spinningness it intersects, so in certain cycles of its spinning it intersects another housing that is also spinning, that it then creates the appearance of solid matter. So when you have a slit that you are moving one electron at a time through, there is the interaction of the spinningnesses within that solid matter and the edge of the slit. Now, when you consider a human consciousnesses are spinningnesses that are together, that move at certain frequencies and collection of frequencies depending upon the frequency collection of the individual, and they use these frequencies in their grasping and connection with
Can Terry speak a little louder, please, or closer to the microphone?
They use their spinningnesses. Give us a moment. they use their frequencies in connection to the world around them, and this is how they ground to the world. If you take a blanket that has been used by an individual for a period of time, it carries the frequencies of that individual. And when one holds a blanket and they're sensitive, they can feel the frequencies within the blanket of that person. So there are radiating energies from the blanket. There are radiating energies, frequencies from the individual person. So these interact when you have an observer. These interact with the electrons that are being shot out into the space to go through the split. And this interaction, thumbs down the vibration, the effects and interacts with the vibration to, so to speak, thumb it down so that when it goes through the slits, then it has already been thumbed down by the observation and acts more like the marble.
Okay, I'm trying to understand it. And there was an area where you were talking about, and this has been a stumbling in my own understanding, a frequency that's in a housing. And I keep asking myself, what is the housing? What is the housing made of? If a frequency is in a housing, what is the housing? And how is the housing created? Is the housing created, is the housing the beat frequency between two crisscrossing frequencies? Does that create a housing? Where does the housing come from to hold the energy of the spinningness?
The housing can be more of a, wide-ranging term. It can refer to the space that is then created by a spinningness. It can refer then to the space or the area that is projected out by the intention for the spinning to occupy a certain space. Although housing is a very loose term because there is no physical housing there, it is merely the space which didn't used to be a space, but is now defined as a space by the activity going on within that space. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure. Let me ask another question and see where it goes. When we talk about the unified field, when we talk about toroid wave radiation, as it was referred to by the Russians and in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, how does this tie in to this wave particle phenomena, if it does?
The toroid wave is a more complex collection of waves that are generating a life force within a certain iPad or... It is an organization of waveforms.
Right at this moment, as we're communicating with you, are our waveforms intersecting with your waveforms and creating new beat frequencies in the universe?
They are intersecting with your frequencies depending upon the the welcome given by the individual, so that if an individual is not wishing this intersection, it does not occur. If an individual is wishing closer connection, then there can be a degree of shared space moving into more shared space, and even more shared space within the individuals, there, within their framework, are complex patterns of waveforms, which then are organized into structures, and in a lighter level, are organized into thought. We then do not interfere with these, or we can blend with them if it is desired, and we can raise then the tone level of the individual or move the organized thoughts into lighter configurations, lift depressions, cheer up individuals.
Are some of the people on the line having that experience right now, having their depression lifted, for example?
Some, yes.
Okay. Now, let's suppose we're intersecting our energies, and then we put my sister in the light, for example. What takes place on the energy, the quantum field energy levels, when we do that?
There is a raising of the vibration and an intermingling of the vibration, and a clearing out of stagnancies within the system of the sister.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those people that are on the line right now, if they want to partake of doing this with someone on someone else's behalf, can they just think of the person, or would they have to say their name?
They can just think of the person. And when they think of the person, there is a light that goes to that person. As they, when they think of the person, they think of the frequency of that person, and the closer they think of the frequency of that person, the more the light goes to that person from the person that is thinking. And we can bring our energies to that person also, depending upon the openness of that person to receive, as some people are within a rigorous, strict, non-yielding pattern that they are holding on to very strongly. And to change this would border on free will. However, many people who are in such a rigid pattern are not doing this of their own free will, but have become totally stuck within their rigid framework of their body matrix.
Mm-hmm. If somebody says the name, is there a propensity for it to have more intention and more power than just thinking of the person?
It can have more propensity to bring the energy to that person, but it isn't necessarily in all cases. Part of it is the intention with which the person brings the thought, and part of it is the the person that is being thought of, willingness and openness to receive,
it would be two things. It would be the openness of the person who is making the request or asking, and it would be the openness of the person who's the receiver of that request.
That is correct, but it would also be the strength of the request of the person that is making the request. They're intermingling attention with the person who is the recipient of the request. They're intermingling of intention as the individual who is receiving the request has the ability to totally block out the receipt.
And when we do planetary healing, is it a similar process?
Yes, it is. Although
now,
sometimes in planetary healing, there are more factors involved, more individuals, more life forms involved, more consensus mm-hmm. realities involved.
So I know as we're talking about this, we're creating a space. I should take a moment, just while we're in this space, to let everyone ask. I think we'll do it quietly, and everyone who's listening on the replays, take this moment, and if there's people in your space that you want this energy to intermingle with, to interact with, for the highest good, for healing, for balance, whatever, let's take a moment of silence and do that now. I would ask the question, that if you're working with someone and you want to create the potential for a shift, like it could be your child or your parent or your sister or your friend, doing this for longer periods has more chance of positive results. Could we say that?
Yes, you could say that, as it gives more chance for interaction, more chance to allow movement on the part of the other individual should the other individual choose to move.
So I'm going to suggest that when we finish the call today, nobody says goodbye, and that if you want to hold the space of the call, take some time and hold the energy for the people that you'd like to do that with. Was that a good idea? Is that a good suggestion?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And we would suggest also, which comes from Terry, sending this energy to anybody involved in the decisions in the Mideast right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so add that to your list of things to send energy to. And going back to our original question, and that had to do with the particle wave theory, I'm not sure I got a clear answer or might have missed it. Is a human a representative of particle wave? In other words, is our consciousness potentially a wave form as opposed to our physical body, which is a particle form? Is there a connection there?
We look at all as being both particles and waves, as they contain both. If you look at the nature of the particle, you see that it contains waves, and you see it contains intersecting waves that then act like particles, but are really the effect of the action and interaction of waveforms. And so you ask about consciousness. Consciousness is a intelligence, and it can contain waveforms within it. It can make waveforms, and it can have a signature waveform. It can create particles by creating intersecting waveforms.
So to repeat back, what you're saying is particles really are made of waves. There's no such thing as a particle. But something will behave as a particle under certain circumstances.
That is correct. That is one of the reasons that you experience the anomalies in the wave-particle experiment that you're talking about.
And is it possible to understand why, when the particle is observed, it reverts back into the manifestation of a waveform?
Give us more. Would you repeat that?
Okay, we're going to look at the idea that there's no such thing as a particle. That a particle is just a way that a waveform manifests differently. A waveform can manifest in one way, in which way we call it a wave, and a waveform can manifest in another way, in which case we call it a particle. But it's all the waveform. And
so
the question is, yes, so the question is, why is it that when the particle is manifesting as a, the waveform is manifesting as a particle, and something then observes that particle, it reverts back into manifesting as a wave? Is it because the observing object creates a waveform in the act of observation that then interacts with the other waveform and causes it to revert from what looks like a particle to what looks like a wave?
Give us a moment. So are you indicating then when the observer is observing the particles moving through the two slots, then
yes.
This.
According to the video, that when the particles are moving through the two slots, and when they're observed by some kind of electronic method of observing electrons, that when they're observed, the manifestation changes back, reverts to a wave manifestation.
Reverts back into the two slots then have two lines. Is that correct?
Yeah, reverts back to a part. I'm sorry, I said that wrong.
Reverts back to particles, correct?
Reverts back to a particle, that's right.
That is correct. That is what we were...
That's why I said it wrong. I'm sorry. Why is
yes.
it that the observation creates that?
Give us a moment. The observation enters another waveform into the stream of the electrons. And this observation then creates more intersecting waveforms, which act as particles.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand that completely, but I think we're going to end this call. But this, we're not going to really end this call. For those of you that want to continue, hold the space of this call and hold the space for the people you want to send healing energy to for as long as you want. And also for the Middle East. For peace in the Middle East right now, and to those people who are in powerful positions have the ability to change things according to their decisions, okay? And do our sources want to say anything before we flow out of this call?
We appreciate you and your inquisitive questioning into the creation of manifestation. And we send love light to each and every person who is listening and hearing and looking and inquisitive and is concerned and caring about their environment, Adonai.
Thank you.
Stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.